Next on BYUSN, it's a ball night for men's hoops as they take the country roads to West Virginia. How did the Cougars match up with the Mountaineers? Plus, does a win tonight mean that BYU will finish with a record of 500 or better in the Big 12?
Ken Pomeroy of KenPom.com is going to join us, preview tonight's game, and how a win or a loss would impact BYU's big dance chances, and the latest Deep Blue, featuring former BYU head basketball coach Dave Rose, his inspiring fight with cancer. It is one to watch for sure. And that's coming up this morning.
Welcome to BYU Sports Nation, presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans, where? Everywhere. Tuesday, February 11th, I'm Jeremy Jordan. He is a member of the welcoming committee, Dave McKim.
You know, if you have Puka coming over, you got to come up with some stuff.
Right.
So Puka shows up at the Crypto Arena last night for the Lakers game. And they go, well, Puka's coming, so let's introduce Luka Doncic to the Laker family.
And
so
worked.
They do all this stuff. They take some pictures. Look at this. It's a jersey swap with the king of L.A., and that's not Luka. It's Puka. There's the number 77 going to Nakua and number 17 going over to the new kid in town for the Lakers. And then, of course, Puka decided to hang out with some of his other friends in Los Angeles, a couple of pictures with LeBron James. And is he not living the best life right now?
His best life, as they say.
Here he is.
Puka said, I've never felt smaller. Next to LeBron. Puka's not a small guy. Puka, 23 years old. Luka, 25. And then LeBron, of course, is 40.
Here's what's ahead for Puka. So Puka's getting like $1 million a year. And here he is getting his stuff.
Which used to be a lot of money.
$1 million a year. Cooper Kupp made $20 million. Last year, yeah. The Rams bouncing Cooper, they're going to build around Puka. So if he's healthy, say, this time next year, he's going to be knocking on the door of one of the biggest contracts a BYU player has ever gotten.
Big time. Like, Fred Warner is the highest paid player in the NFL for BYU right now. Ziggy, I know, had a nice deal back.
But look
the
what
day.
They're paying receivers these
right?
days.
Right? Like,
and you're in L.A.
Keep it up if you're Puka.
So, anyway, it's fun to see him having a
but
good
But in
time.
This economy, I don't know. It's
yeah,
crazy.
Things change. Speaking of the economy, that yeah. shirt right there, I've never yeah. quite seen that before.
Yeah.
Is that like a barcode? You just walk in and you get it for...
I'm just a walking advertisement.
You get a drink and a cougar tail for $7.50.
Shout out Royal Blue Collective. They sell this shirt. Cougar tails for the win. $7.50 is a steal for the... for the donut, so love it.
Man. Nice.
Who doesn't like a good cougar tail? That amount, like, if someone came up at the next men's volleyball match and just handed me just like a 4-inch piece of cougar tail in the third set, and we know it's going 4 or 5, I need that.
This feels like an invitation.
Absolutely.
Pleading.
In the fifth set, we actually have the director of ops, Aubrey Rushing. She'll bring over these like energy gummies that the team has, because
yeah.
we need some energy too. But we don't today because we got tons to talk about. It's a ball night. Cannot wait. BYU, West Virginia. Let's talk about it. All rise and shout. It's time for What's Trending. BYU and West Virginia coming up tonight in Morgantown. They are ready to play. Cougars a 2.5-point dog. Ken Pom gives BYU a 37% chance to win. So how does BYU match up with West Virginia in an important game?
Well, if you look at the numbers, they tend to favor BYU, especially in rebounding, right? West Virginia is among the bottom feeders and rebounds in the Big 12. In fact, they're last when it comes to rebound margin. They're last in the conference in offensive rebounds. They're ninth in defensive rebounds. So for a team that just got out-rebounded by 15 in their last two games, BYU comes into this game, and they've got to look at that stat and go, we need to own that. We're a better rebounding team than West Virginia statistically, historically, and that's been the bugaboo of the last couple of games. So there's a lot of stat comparisons with points allowed, points given up, and all that stuff. But, man, rebound seems to be it. That's the number I'm watching tonight. If they win the rebounding battle, they're going to win this game because then it provides so many other opportunities to do other things. But when you're getting outboarded 15 to Arizona and Cincinnati, you're in some trouble.
Tough.
Especially if somebody gets hot, and they got a guy who can get hot fast.
Yes, they do. Let's talk about him. Javon Small is the real deal. Ken Pom has him as the number 7 player in the country in his National Player of the Year list. Second highest Big 12 player, that's Hunter Dickinson at Kansas. Top 3 in the league in assists, shots, free throw attempt, free throw percentage, tops in minutes per game, and most notably points and points per game. Remember, this dude went off for 34, Dave, on senior day with Oklahoma State when he was there. Against BYU, keep an eye on him. This is number 17 offense versus number 17 defense, by the way. BYU's offense versus West Virginia's defense. They don't allow teams to shoot a high percentage. 48% of BYU's points come from the three-point line. Let's see what BYU can do tonight. More on the Mountaineer defense. Three-point percentage in the country, 8th. Effective field goal percentage, 12th. This is all allowed. Adjusted defensive efficiency, as mentioned, 17th. Twos, 35th. BYU's got to shoot the ball well. They need to rebound, get some second-chance points. That's what BYU does well. BYU keeps teams off the glass as well. Traditionally, they have not the last 2 weeks. And as we talked about yesterday, BYU has allowed 84-plus the last two games and three of the last four. Don't let West Virginia get going.
Yeah.
And you need to win this to split the road trip. We talked about how, hey, winning two would be awesome, of course. Don't need to win two. But it feels like, especially because Lenardi came out today, this morning, and said BYU's the last team in, also highlighted the fact that BYU's non-conference schedule is 288, which won't be good on Selection Sunday, perhaps, right, according to Lenardi, and the fact that BYU, the whole Sunday play thing and bracketing principles, that makes it a little tricky. We don't want BYU in this position come Selection Sunday. So certainly tonight is an important game and an earlier game. It's 5 p.m. local time in the Mountain Time.
We like that. We like that.
We actually do.
Another thing, too, is unlike Cincinnati, BYU has been to Morgantown. They went back there last year and won 86-73. And Foose had a big game, 24 points, 9 boards. Dallin Hall had a career-high 12 assists. Yep. Those are two key players going back to a gym they've been in. They felt the atmosphere, and their leadership's going to be called on tonight, along with Richie Saunders, who's also been there and done that. The staff hasn't been there, right? The freshmen, Yegor and company, haven't been there, but the core has. They hadn't been to Cincinnati since 1931. All right, they were in Morgantown in 2024.
Yep.
So that's got to help. And the fact that BYU made 8 baskets in the second half against Cincinnati has got to spur this highly driven offensive group to come out here and seek some personal redemption. They went and played a team for 20 minutes. They made 8 shots. That's not the world they live in. And so I would think there would be a bounce back tonight of focus, effort on rebounding, and shooting, and a great chance to get a win.
Absolutely. This is a big one. We mentioned it. BYU not favored in this one by odds makers and KenPom. So BYU certainly needs to play well. Can Richie Saunders have one of his kind of 25-plus point games? Can Yegor Demon find shooters? Can BYU rebound? Does Foose gain confidence from the fact that he had a great game, like you mentioned, there last year? I'm interested to watch it because West Virginia, out of the gates in the league, was a team that surprised some people. They won at Fog Allen Fieldhouse, beat Kansas in game one. They're 6-6 like BYU. You don't want to go below 500. So a massive one coming up tonight.
They just beat Utah at home, so they've been home for this, a little homestand for them. They beat them by 12, I think, or 11. Didn't kill them. Utah was right there with them. I think as BYU studies that film, they go in tonight and go, okay, we can get this done. We'll see. It leads us to another thought we had this morning. If BYU wins tonight, do you think that they'll finish at least 10-10 at 500 in the Big 12, currently 6-6, and will 10-10 be enough to get them in the field a little bit better than the last team in?
So first, let's attack the first question you asked, which is, do I think if they win tonight, they'll be at least 10-10? I do, because I don't think this is one of the most winnable games left on the schedule. It's kind of the 5th most winnable. You talk about K-State at home, at Arizona State, West Virginia at home, Utah at home. Those are all more winnable than this game, yet this is winnable for BYU.
Yeah.
KenPom saying 37% chance. I actually like BYU against Kansas next Tuesday as well. I think BYU would be up for that quite a bit. And Kansas has shown they're pretty vulnerable. They've lost 5 games in league. If BYU wins tonight, they won't just get to 10. I think they get to 11 or 12.
Okay.
I think this is a big moment. A reminder, BYU is 15-8. TeamRankings.com to repeat some updated numbers. 63% chance to make the tourney if they get to 21 wins. Can BYU put together a 5-3 record down the final 8 and win 1 game in Kansas City? Absolutely. 20 wins is 19%. That's where the cliff falls off a little bit. So this is a big game. You got to win on the road. BYU's won 2 road games. They had a nice little streak there with Colorado and UCF. Can BYU get another one and Arizona State? So this is important because what you don't want to do is be 20 and, 12, 13 going into Selection Sunday and just on the bubble. You don't want the Sunday play thing to come in. You don't want how you play down the stretch and the non-conference schedule sort of way. And then this team who's too talented and there's too many resources put into this team to not make the NCAA tournament. Yet, if I told you this season was the build and next year was the actual climb, with AJ, it would be worth it. It was worth it in football, Dave. It might be worth it in basketball. But the standard is make the NCAA tournament, and that's what BYU needs to do.
A win tonight keeps them above water, right? Stay above 500. And let's look at the schedule and put it up for you, and we'll count our how to get to 10. And again, even if you're 10-10 and you go to Kansas City and you win a first-round Big 12, now you have 11 Big 12 wins if you win that first-round matchup
yep.
in the conference tournament. But we're kind of thinking 10's the threshold. Remember last year they were, what?
10-8.
10-8. Mm-hmm. So...
two more league games this year.
Two more league games, a competitive league. I don't know if the league's better this year than it was last year, but last year they had some big wins. They went to Lawrence and got a win.
That was like a real punctuating win. What's the punctuating win for BYU right now? They don't have one.
Right.
Baylor was good, but if you got Kansas on Tuesday or you got Iowa State or at Arizona, hey, one of those three would be big time.
So four on the board right here gets you to 10-10.
I'll tell you the four that are most likely just by percentage. It's easy. Kansas State at home, and then at Arizona State, West Virginia at home, Utah at home.
Yeah, that gets you
those
10.
Are four. Get those four. If you win tonight and you can pull off another one, Kansas, Iowa State, or Arizona, hey, that'd be nice too. Realistically, what you don't want to do is go 4-4 or 3-5, and then you bow out in the first round or first game, depending on seeding, of the Big 12 tournament, then you're screaming NIT resume. BYU needs to collect wins. Sean Farnham talked about no bad losses.
Yeah.
I think you also need you don't have to, but it'd be nice to get that one of those big three too. So tonight's a big game. You win this, you feel like, okay, we can get down this path and make the tourney because this team needs to make the tourney.
It's the fun thing about these seasons is they're so long and they're so difficult. Every Tuesday's like life or death. And then after that, now it'll be Saturday and then Kansas on Tuesday. And, hey, we're living the dream in this league. And it's as competitive as everybody thought. And these Cougars are finding that even with a more talented roster, hey, any given night, the other team can go off. West Virginia can come out and play crazy tonight and do what Cincinnati did, or BYU does what they did to West Virginia last year, the same thing, just outplayed them, out-rebounded them, mm-hmm. out-hustled them, outshot them, and won on their road, on their venue. That could happen tonight.
Pull that spirit of Jerry West and summon it yourself, you know, in Morgantown. That'd
Let's
be awesome.
Do it.
Hot Rod Hundley, all those guys. Our question of the day is this. BYU's record in Big 12 games is 6-6, 8 games remaining in the regular season. Will BYU finish at, below, or above 500? At Ryan K. Peterson on X. 11-9 would be awesome. Yes, it would. Beyond that would be more than we should be asking for. 10-10 keeps them on the bubble. 9-11 would be a disappointment. That's probably a pretty accurate statement. I think I agree with that assessment of those specific records.
Yeah.
At CL_living on X.
A win tonight puts them above 500, and they finish above 500. A loss tonight puts them below 500, and they finish below 500. Straight math. Everything depends on tonight.
Oh, we're getting dramatic. So about tonight determines everything.
This is it tonight for CL Living on X. It is all about tonight until Saturday.
Then it's all about Saturday.
So for the moment, you're right. It is about tonight and the options that they got in front of them.
Is tonight's game more winnable than Saturday's game, given how hot Kansas State is right now, coming off 5 straight wins, including Kansas?
I'd like to think at home you always have the advantage. But in this league, where we've seen teams come into the Marriott Center and beat BYU, I don't know. You just focus on what's in front of you. So that makes it tonight. Tonight is
thanks,
tonight's
Coach
the
McCann.
Key.
Yep. One game at a time.
I've heard that a million times from all the coaches we've interviewed. Just got to take it one game at a time. Continue to weigh in on X, Facebook, and Instagram. Share your opinions with us. ESPN college football writer Max Olson recently posted, which Power Four schools have lost the fewest scholarship players to the transfer portal over the last 2 years combined? And BYU's tied for the fourth fewest lost at 18. That got us thinking. We hear so much about culture and continuity, how important it is for Kalani Sitake and his staff. Do those two things, continuity and culture, translate into wins at BYU? When you see this graphic, what do you think?
I think so. I think we can look at 2023 as an example. BYU had as many as 31 transfers, I think I found there. It created a culture where it was like everyone's still learning the playbook. They're still figuring each other out. They're still figuring out BYU. 5-7, they were on the cusp of being 7-5 and pulling off two tremendous wins at the end of the season with Oklahoma and Oklahoma State. Then you saw the motivation, the fight that they had because of what people didn't think they could do. And now they're trying to summon that in a different way where it's like, well, they don't think we can do it again, or we need to get to the Big 12 championship. So Absolutely. Also, not all transfers are created equal. Like, a Keenan Peely to Tennessee is not the same as backup so-and-so right. to local school. Those are not the same. I think BYU's done a tremendous job of creating an environment, a culture. People want to come and play here. They enjoy it for not just on-the-field reasons. It's not just about winning or the NFL, although those things are important.
Or NIL.
Or NIL. Mm-hmm. But all of those things do matter. And BYU's done an awesome job with this. Kalani Sitake is a player's coach. People love to play for him. Is BYU going to pull in 5 stars and a ton of 4 stars? We hope they do in the future. They're getting a couple of 4 stars. They're getting a 5-star transfer like Kingsley Suamati, yeah. who's in the NFL. It is different here. It's always been different here. It will always be different here. But that's the advantage, not the disadvantage, right. is that it is different.
We're seeing guys want to come here and stay here. They might be Chase Roberts could probably jumped in the portal and got more money somewhere else.
Absolutely.
Right? But he wants to be here. We see that with Darius Laster. Darius Laster, who's still fighting to get another year, yeah. wants to be here. Caleb Etienne wanted to stay here. He's going into the draft as a first-team All-Big 12 left tackle. But that screams that the culture is not just the church. The culture is how these guys feel around each other in that locker room, around the staff, around their fellow students on campus, and they love it. Yegor Demon comes in cold turkey to BYU in, 3 weeks? He's like, it's like I've been here my whole life.
Yep.
The culture is interesting, and I think that number screams it because you can lose players to big bucks, right? You lose them to big time places. That temptation now is there. Or you can lose them early to the draft. But when you got guys looking for reasons to stay, that screams the core of Kalani and Jay Hill. Have you ever heard a player not say something nice about those guys? Have you ever heard a visiting coach not say, yeah, I really would have wished I was like Kalani. I would want my kid to play for him. All those kind of
Kenny
things.
Kenny Dillingham has said
yeah,
that.
Yeah, all those things scream, hey, they got something special there. And with the guys who transferred in from the portal this year, the 8 that came in January, I think every one of them had a reason for, I want to be a part of this, as opposed to, I want to be 11-2. You know, you win games everywhere. But they came for the other reasons, too, I want that impact on me, on my soul, on my life.
Yes.
And I want to be as good as I can
on my
and
future
go to the
career,
NFL.
Yes, as a businessman or woman with the connections and the network. You think about this BYU. In the 80s, BYU had some of the best talent who were members of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints and other great fits. Feels like BYU has that now. Yeah. BYU has a Jewish quarterback. They have a Russian point guard. They have all kinds of inclusivity with their sports teams that I don't know that BYU's had to this degree. A.J. DeBonta's coming to BYU. That's an amazing story for the Cougars.
And now all the reasons.
I love this.
Yeah.
I love what BYU is and what it's doing athletically and who it's bringing in and how it feels. And obviously winning, you got to win to get noticed for kind of what BYU is. And BYU's trying to do that.
And I kind of like
a lot of sports.
With
sports.
The Big 12, the Big 12 eliminates the last thing of, it's all this,
right.
but we're in the WCC.
Right.
But this. Now it's, but we can compete with the best.
Yes. And the sort of anti and BYU argument is, well, the honor code. BYU's never tried to recruit people that don't want to live the honor code. They recruit the ones that want it. That's the advantage.
If you want to play on Sunday, there's other places.
Great. You want to not practice on Sunday and have that day off? This is a great place for that, yeah. too.
And kids are finding that. And they love it.
Yes, absolutely. I like not working on Sunday, too. That's great, too.
That's good.
Okay, College Football Report put out a college football hate tier list. We've talked about all this love and great. Let's talk about some hate.
All right.
And BYU,
opposition and
BYU,
all things.
Right, is in the not liked tier along with Utah. Should BYU and Utah be in the same category on this list of not liked?
Look up there at the despised. You got Alabama, Georgia, Ohio State, Texas, Southern Cal, and Michigan. It's like, okay, they're despised because they've beaten everybody for so long.
Because they're good.
Right? You look down there to not liked, and you see BYU and Utah, and you go, I think BYU should be down there to likable or loved because they give out ice cream, they give out brownies. they do everything to make the visiting fan experience positive. Again, we mentioned a moment ago, the opposing coaches love Kalani. We never say a bad word, whether they won or lost. I'm not exactly sure what the part of BYU what makes them unliked, especially if you separate, say, the religion, because a lot of people just pile on that and go, well, sure. if you stand for this, I'm this. BYU would be right there with, what do we hear from every visiting fan that leaves to tell their other fans, you got to come to Provo?
If you're talking about sports, which is the most visible part of the university, yeah. among other universities when they compete in intercollegiate athletics. Absolutely. Like, is it annoying to have the opposing fan base sort of invade your stadium? Yes, but yeah. Talk to the people there.
They're all nice.
When Hawaii came and brought up hundreds of fans and beat BYU in men's volleyball, it was a little annoying. I understood what the opposing fan bases get. But there was no vitriol.
Like some Tennessee
fans. They
were
excited about their team.
BYU put 10,000 back there, and the yeah. Tennessee fans were like, those were the nice. And they got beat. But they're like, oh, those guys are hard to not like.
But also, how'd you get in here yeah. by this amount of volume?
And, of course, you all flew in from from Utah.
Man, they travel well. What? They live around there.
The Utes can deal with themselves. They're in that not like category. But I think BYU should be.
No comment.
I think BYU should be liked a little more on that chart.
Ultimately, who cares what other people think about you? You can certainly be nice and love and invite, but at the end of the day, just be you, man.
Yeah.
Be you.
But when they put a graphic out like this, it's fun to talk about.
Yes, it is.
Like, hey, why are
we? To be honest, we had floated that, as we say in the business, the last like four shows. I'm glad we got it. Hey, we got it in. We got it in.
Big 12 battles resume tonight in Morgantown, West Virginia. BYU and the Mountaineers pregame show 6 Eastern on BYU Radio. Tip at 7 Eastern, that's 5 Mountain Time, on CBS Sports Network and BYU Radio.
Coming up, college basketball stats guru Ken Pomeroy. I check his website every day. On the Cougars at West Virginia, chances to make the tourney. And what's up with the Big 12 this year? He has him number 3 in the ratings. This is BYU Sports Nation.
Our fantastic college basketball stats guru, the man who we put a lot of trust in when it comes to determining like how good or bad a team actually is, Ken Pom.
If you look at Ken Pom, he's saying this is going to be close.
Ken Pomeroy joins us on BYU Sports Nation.
Yes, he does. Ken Pom is on the program. Jerem Jordan, Dave McCann. And again, there are certain websites I check every day. KenPom.com, blatant, just love it. Promotion here is on the program. Ken, when did you realize your name was like convenient for KenPom.com? When did that hit you?
It was sort of an accident. You know, I think I bought the domain name in like 2000 before I even had an idea of what was, you know, what the website was going to be about. And it turned out to be, you know, it sounds nice. It kind of rhymes. It's short, which is kind of, it's hard to find domain names that are short these days. So it's all worked out pretty well. And yeah, now I just kind of, you know, for a while I didn't, it was like an alter ego, but now I kind of embrace it and just introduce myself as Ken Pom, and it works out okay.
Used to be like a weatherman or something. I just know he's the college basketball guru, which is great. He used offensive adjusted efficiency, defensive adjusted efficiency. They're all kind of numbers and stuff. For people who have never been to your website, how would you summarize in a couple of lines, like what you get when you subscribe? Because it's good info and it's frankly insider stuff I use every day on the program.
Yeah, you know, the website just tries to break down every team by, you know, different statistics. But it goes in layers. So, like, obviously there's an overall rating you see on the front page. There's the offense and defensive ratings that you talk about. And there's ways to break down teams' offense and defense into various parameters. That's, you know, behind the paywall. And so I know there's a lot of numbers there. And it can be overwhelming, but people are familiar with, say, baseball. There's a lot of kind of esoteric stats that are harder to define. But I feel like on the basketball side, at least on my side, it's not as difficult to understand. You know, everything's either a percentage or it's one number divided by another. It's, you know, it's once you invest a few minutes into it, like you have done, Jeremy, you can get hooked, I think, because I think it is like fairly easy to digest.
Let's dumb it down for someone like me that I can understand. BYU's on the bubble. They're playing like a bubble team. As we sit here with the tournament next month, do you think they'll get in?
Yeah, I go back and forth on this. You know, just sometimes you see them play and it's like, yeah, this is a team good enough to do what it takes. I mean, they probably need to win. So eight regular season games left. 4-4 probably does it with a win in the Big 12 tournament. You know, I think 5-3 would really get them in, but 4-4, you know, you think they go 1-3 on the road, 3-1 at home. That would really, you know, help their resume enough, I think, to get them in again, probably with a win in the Big 12 tournament. So I'm interested to see what will happen. They are, you know, at times you feel like they're trending up, and at times, you know, they aren't. You know, the Cincinnati game was a real sign of caution to me, because the defense, you know, played poorly enough that they're going to play more difficult teams in Cincinnati in most of these games down the stretch. So they will have to play better than they did in that game.
And giving up, 84, 85 points to Cincinnati is tough because they don't have one of the best offenses. Now, tonight we have a matchup, BYU-West Virginia, battle of number 17 on defense with the Mountaineers, 17 for BYU offensively. How do you see this one shaking up?
Yeah, it's going to be a real struggle. One thing about West Virginia is that they are rated as the number one home court advantage in college basketball on my site. Which gives you some ideas. It is tough to go to, it's just tough to get to Morgantown in the first place. And then, they have a pretty good fan base there, especially in a year where they've had some unexpected success. So, like you mentioned, it is a battle of strengths here. BYU will have an advantage certainly in size. West Virginia plays more of a, five out type of system. They're going to, take a lot of threes and, BYU tends to allow a lot of threes. So you're going to see, the game kind of hinge on that, at least on when West Virginia has the ball. There's going to be a lot of three-point attempts. And it's been the story to some extent of BYU this season. Like, BYU also likes to take threes. So there's a lot of variance in the results. I think it's part of the reason you see situations like them, losing by, a bunch to Providence, but also being able to, beat the top teams in the league. So that's to some extent that's what this will come down to is West Virginia going to shoot 50% from three, or are they going to shoot 25% from three? If it's the latter, BYU's going to have a great chance. If it's the former, and the crowd gets into it, it's going to be a real struggle.
Is there a number or a metric that that you've come up with that best tells the story of this season for BYU so far?
Well, yeah, I just alluded to it. Like you look at kind of how the scoring breaks down for where points are coming from. Both offensively and defensively for BYU, and on both sides of the ball, it's teams are top. BYU's top 20 in the country in terms of the points they score on three pointers. They're also top 20 in the country in terms of the points they allow on three pointers. And none of those are like bad things. Like you can have success doing those things. You can have success scoring a lot from three or not scoring a lot from three. But it just gives you an idea of how their games typically play out. And since BYU likes to shoot the three and they also like to allow a lot of threes, they tend to play, they're going to mix in a little bit of zone. They're going to, defend the paint a little bit more than most teams. That outside shooting piece really can determine a lot of games. The other issue for BYU lately has been that, the two-point percentage defense has crept up a little bit. It's around 52% in Big 12 play. You really want to get that number under 50% to have an effective defense. And so in addition to this, kind of three-point shooting variance, to me, the two-point shooting is the thing that BYU can really control a little bit more. And so I'm curious to see if, especially tonight against a team that doesn't have, a lot of interior size, can they, kind of exert their will a little bit more in the paint?
KenPom.com is on the program. What metric sticks out about what Kevin Young has sort of implemented in year one for BYU that has surprised you either way?
To me, it's more that just kind of the style of play. We didn't exactly know what we'd get from Kevin Young when he came in here. And as it turns out, it's kind of more the tradition, I guess, we've seen in, the past two decades, more or less, of BYU basketball, where, you do get that perimeter shooting. I mean, they're 16th in the country in terms of the number of three-point attempts they take. On the flip side, I think the defense was a bit of a mystery. And on that side of the ball, BYU is really focused more on, as I mentioned, kind of allowing threes, but also in the process kind of slowing the game down. So, BYU's 325th in terms of defensive possession length. So, possessions are long, and that's usually the sign of an effective defense. The defense is that, as I mentioned, it's been a mixed bag this year, but they really so far have kind of hung their hat on trying to force difficult three-pointers, late shot clock three-pointers, and generally they've had success in that. Like opponents have only shot 35% from three, so it hasn't exactly been great three-point defense, but they're not exactly getting torn up from three either. And and more importantly, they're a really good rebounding team, especially on the defensive end, eighth in the country in that area. So when teams are missing, BYU is able to end the possession. So it's a similar story that we've had for BYU the past few years. Offense really good, defense somewhat mediocre, but you know, there are signs that at least the defense can compete at, you know, a somewhat average level in this conference.
For the longest time, we mentioned the Big 12 as the toughest basketball conference in America, certainly where last year and coming to this season. You've got them ranked at number 3 behind the SEC and the Big 10. What's changed this year that has the Big 12 third on your list?
Yeah, I mean, it's been a long, long run for the Big 12 being usually first in the country. I think 9 of the last 10 years, they were the top-ranked team in my system. And when they're not the top-ranked team, they're second. You know, it's like a 15-year run of being first or second. And so this is a little bit different. Obviously, the expansion of the conference has taken a toll on the league to some extent. You know, teams like Arizona State and Colorado have really dragged down the league a little bit. You know, UCF has not had a great year. Cincinnati, after starting off great, you know, hasn't been all that good. And so that's part of the issue. You know, they made the additions of Houston and Arizona have offset that somewhat. I mean, overall, the league is still really good. They're just not the best. Say hello to the SEC. I mean, they're having one of the best years that any league has ever had. The Big 12 is still pretty good. It's just not, this doesn't, you know, there's just a little bit more of that, you know, I don't want to say dead weight, but, you know, mediocre teams at the bottom of the league that are dragging down the rating a little bit.
I was hoping you'd say Utah, but that's just the blue in me, I guess. Ken, we appreciate
Utah too, yeah.
You got to win that game in Salt Lake.
He got it in.
Yeah, exactly. Ken, we appreciate the time. We recommend people check out kenpom.com for the latest, and thanks for joining the program.
All right, thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
Ken Pomeroy on the show. I'm telling you, when we talk hoops, I'm pulling numbers that I didn't go and compute effective field goal percentage or two-point percentage myself or whatever. He's got it on his website. It's great stuff.
Yeah, his opinions, and then here's why.
And they like his site is not opinion-based whatsoever. Yeah. It's completely objective, right, of, nope, it's the numbers. Here's what the numbers say. So it's good stuff.
Delaney Gibb and the Cougars in action tonight. Women's basketball, they are in Fort Worth to take on 11th-ranked TCU. Jason Shepherd, we believe he's recovered from the Super Bowl. He'll have the call at 7:30 Eastern on BYU Radio. You can watch it on ESPN+. Plus, if you listen to the radio and he's not talking, he's not over it.
After the break, men's cross country signs their A.J. DeBonsa. We'll tell you about him in the headlines. This is BYU Sports Nation.
BYU Sports Nation is presented by The BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere.
Studio B, I'm Jeremy, he's Dave. It's time for today's headlines.
BYU men's basketball looking to bounce back after the loss to Cincinnati. They're in Morgantown tonight to take on West Virginia. Both teams are 6-6 in the Big 12. Mountaineers are a 2.5-point favorite. ESPN's Joe Lunardi's current bracketology update has BYU as the last team in.
Hold on.
That's better than the last team out, but they're last team in. Pre-game 6 Eastern, BYU Radio. The game's at 7 Eastern, BYU Radio, and CBS Sports Network.
The East Coast is like, finally, a game at a decent hour.
Right, enjoy
it. Big 12 scoreboard, number 6 Houston beat Baylor last night, 76-65. Balanced scoring, 5 players in double figures for Houston. With the win, Houston 12-1, Baylor 7-6 in the Big 12. Tonight's games, number 10 Iowa State at UCF, number 13 Arizona at Kansas State, which is interesting given how well Wildcats have played. Colorado at number 17, Kansas. Utah at Cincinnati.
Big challenge tonight for women's basketball at number 11, TCU. The Horned Frogs tied for first in the Big 12. They're 10-2. Cougars are 3-9. 7:30 Eastern tip on BYU Radio, and you can watch on ESPN+. BYU's Delaney Gibb named the Big 12 Freshman of the Week again.
Really?
7 times this season after she led the conference in freshman in points, assists, steals, and blocked shots this past week. Got to cut down on the turnovers for the team tonight to have a shot.
What's up with the rebounding? It's everything but rebounds.
Come on, Delaney.
There's room for improvement, I guess. Teyon Taylor named MPSF Defensive Player of the Week thanks to a season-high 11 blocks in Saturday's win over UC Santa Barbara. That's a crazy number, especially in 3 sets. Meanwhile, the Cougars drop a spot to number 7 in this week's ABCA poll after back-to-back sweeps of UC Santa Barbara last week.
Usually go up.
Right. USC kind of ascended past them in that number 6 spot. BYU opens MPSF play at Concordia Thursday and Friday.
Women's golf, 5th place at the San Diego State Classic. They're playing golf again today. MJ Berrigan leading the way for BYU. 3rd place starting the final round today. They tee off in just a bit. Oh, playing golf today in San Diego.
That'd be nice.
Good
I think it's 27 kids. Degrees out there.
Yeah.
Women's tennis beat the Fighting Penny Hardaways of Memphis 4-0 to remain unbeaten at home and improve to 6-3 on the year.
Men's cross country, track and field, and high school cross country national champion Charlie Voss.
Yeah.
He's the third Nike Cross Nationals champ in program history, joining Casey Klinger and Aiden Trautner, who were part of last year's national championship team. Voss joins women's team signee Jane Hedegren as NXN national champ and national Gatorade cross country player of the year. These are the two best runners
Amazing.
In the country signing with BYU.
It's AJ DeBonson hoops and these two.
Yeah.
Congratulations to all the coaches recruiting at a super high level.
Winning begets winning.
Yes, it does.
And these are two of the best coming.
So excited to see them run. Coming up, the newest Deep Blue featuring Dave Rose, his legacy in Provo, and his continuing battles with cancer. This is BYU Sports Nation. BYU Sports Nation. As men's basketball head coach from 2005 to 2019, Dave Rose created a culture of winning, of character. 4 Mountain West Conference regular season titles, 8 visits to the NCAA tournament. And for the last 15 years, his courageous battle continues with cancer to inspire others to live each day to its fullest. This is Deep Blue featuring Dave Rose.
He walked in our house and said to me, "Cheryl, I don't want to be a business major. I want to be a coach. I don't want to go to an office every day. I want to do what I love and I want to coach." I had no idea. That was like, I didn't see that coming at all. I realized that I wanted you to be happy doing what you did. And
that was nice of you to agree. I was going to do it anyways.
I'm committed to being the best coach here at BYU that I can possibly be. I'm committed to making this program the best program that it can be and make everyone proud. I'm committed to the values of this school and I'm excited and I'm ready to get started. Thank you very much.
He's bleeding internally. He's throwing up blood and blood is everywhere. And I don't know this doctor. He doesn't know who we are. It's just some, you know, random hospital that they took us to in the ambulance. And I grabbed the guy. I mean, I'm grabbing the guy by his jacket. And I said, "You have to save this man. Like, he's an incredible father. He's, you know, the love of my life. He's an incredible, you know, grandfather. He's a good son. Like, he's a good man. You have to save him." Thinking about him coming back and coaching after that initial diagnosis and almost losing his life in the hospital and undergoing surgery and then having a pulmonary embolism. But I'm thinking of the administration that believed that he could still do it. I mean, even after going through something so horrendous and really still not knowing exactly how this was all gonna go.
A memorable season for the BYU men's basketball team this past winter as they saw a courageous coach overcome the odds, a record-setting performance on the road, and finally putting an end to that pesky 17-year drought.
BYU advanced at the NCAA tournament in back-to-back seasons for the first time in school history.
It's a really good feeling when the committee thinks you're one of the best teams in the country to be in their tournament, so I'm excited about that.
But if the season had to end, it may as well end in the big dance.
He is a different person after cancer. He was so focused and very driven as a coach. They're great things. It's just that his mind and his heart opened up to so much more.
I appreciated the fact that I got to do this still way, way more than before cancer. That adjustment in my mindset actually made me a better coach.
For the first 4.5 years, he had negative scans, and we were 6 months away from 5 years where they would say, your tumor is NED, and all we wanted was a NED, no evidence of disease. And at the 4.5 month mark when we came back in, he had tumors. And since then, you know, they've continued to come. And over the years, he's managed to keep coaching.
When he was coaching it, no one understood like what he was going through, getting surgeries, coming back from them, all the symptoms and the sicknesses and the doctor appointments and the scans, and they were working around his schedule and recruiting and camps and the whole thing. The fact that they won so much, so inspiring.
BYU's here for the 7th time in 8 years, correct?
7th in the last 8 and 7 in Dave Rose's 9-year tenure.
We are now joined live by Dave Rose making his 8th NCAA tournament appearance.
Years I've been doing this. 20, 22 at BYU, 14 as the head coach, and today's the day that I'm gonna retire. I'm 61 years old and I still haven't worked a day in my life.
I always thought that I knew that I would know when it was time, if that makes any sense. I had been asked many, many times by different people, hey, how long are you going to do this? I said, well, I'll keep coaching as long as I keep winning. They said, well, you know you're not going to be able to coach forever. It just kept coming. Dave, I think it's time in my brain. This kept coming over and over, and I think I knew, you know.
I don't know our life without basketball. It's just kind of... Until you retired.
And we had a real plan, what it was going to be like, and it didn't work out that way. But after I retired, that's probably when the most serious health issues started. That's when I had a heart attack. And then a year later, I had a stroke. Now the fact that we're back into the cancer treatment again after that, it's a lot more complicated. Yeah.
So, like, if we wanted to treat this one rather than coming from behind your back, there'd be that probe, and then we'd do another one.
He's trying to weigh decisions of, like, do I continue doing a surgery with the risk of, like, that maybe killing me, or do I stop that course of treatment? And so that conversation was, I think, the part that got hard because... You know, the idea of, like, stopping treatment, you're like, no. Like, no, we don't want to do that, and that's my mom, and I think I understand where my mom's coming from, but at the same time, like, we have his back, so 100% what he wants to do and what he needs to do, you know, we'll support that.
I've always kind of known that I'll always have the challenge, okay? And like I said, it used to be a 6-month challenge. And the last 2 years, it's kind of been I was going back with another procedure, with another challenge. It's just that it was disappointment after disappointment after disappointment after disappointment. And I was just tired.
It's not about like, oh, can we beat it? Like, we're past that. Like, we know cancer is gonna win, but like every single day that we get and every month that we get and every year that we get is such a gift.
Some days I measure myself as a really lucky guy that still gets to be around and, you know, kind of enjoy all the things that I get to enjoy and enjoy my grandkids and my kids, my family. And then there's other days when I think, man, I got the short end of the stick here and have got quite a challenge. So I don't think that sitting around and complaining and wondering why and questioning everything, that my days are any better than if I just enjoy what we're doing and look forward to the next day.
You know, coming into the story now, it's, I mean, it's not the best time, right? It's kind of a sad time, but the story is more than just like right now.
I love the life we've built with our kids. with our grandkids. We have incredible friends.
When you think about 15 years where you battled cancer, but during those 15 years, if you looked at what we've actually done, where we've been, what we've seen, that we probably never would have.
We're really blessed. Once again, I didn't mention your job. That's what he did for a living, and he loved it. But who he is as a human being is so many more things to me. And I'm so lucky that we have this life together.
I want you to know him like we know him, and know, like, I mean, because my dad is like my hero, you know?
Everything he did was to help our family succeed and our children succeed. And he always put me first. And I think he did that with his players and the people around him, his coaches. He always wanted them to succeed. And he sacrificed a lot to do that.
There's a lot of ways to really dig into your challenge and what you do and how you do it. But don't forget about other things that are way more important.
Deep Blue featuring Dave Rose. What an incredible man. He has gone through it too. I think people, perhaps until this story came out, maybe disconnected with what's gone on with him post-retirement.
Right.
It's been a equal to or tougher battle than what he went through when he was at BYU with his cancer.
It's interesting, as watching that, Blaine and I called a lot of his games, and we kind of went through his journey different as he dealt with all the illness and yet still coached, and we dealt with him before and after games and all that stuff.
We didn't know what he was going through to
no,
that degree, right?
Not everyone did, but you could see it wear on him, and it changed him. As we go through those kind of things, it changes us, and not that you need something like that to realize what's really important, but as we saw in his journey right there, the culmination of it all is at the end of your life, or towards the end of it, you know exactly what's most important.
Mm-hmm.
And those pictures of him surrounded by his family and his kids,
that's it.
And talked to him the other day, he's doing good, and he's happy. And a guy who's been through the ringer who's happy is an example for all of us to go, hey, look, there's joy all over our lives.
Yep.
You can focus on that, or you can focus on your problems. Happier folks focus on the things that are good, and he's a perfect example. Love the Roses and what they've done here, but mostly who they are and how they do it.
They're awesome. We've gotten to know their family, and we see them all over the place. I go to St. George, run into some of the fam, which is great. His granddaughter Annie's on the swim team, which is exciting. He and Cheryl came up to the BYU Arizona game a week ago on Tuesday. It is always good to see them. You can catch all the Deep Blues on demand, by the way, on the BYU TV app. And another incredible story.
We're still just getting to know the new head coach, Kevin Young. We invite you to BYU basketball with the coach Thursday night, 8:30 Eastern time. A coach, a guest, Greg Rubel, live studio audience. 60 minutes of fun. It'll be a little more fun if they can pull it off tonight in Morgantown. But Thursday night, BYU basketball with Kevin Young on the BYU TV app.
After the break, today's Elite Voice of the Day and a Ryerson shout out. This is BYU Sports Nation.
BYU Sports Nation is presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere.
Of the day is this: BYU's record in men's hoops in Big 12 games, currently 6-6, 8 games left. Will BYU finish at, below, or above 500? Our Elite Voice of the Day is presented by PAX Healthcare Elevated. David Woolsley on X. I'd say right at 500. The team's certainly capable of above. However, something still hasn't quite clicked yet. That said, I'm enjoying being an average Big 12 team more than hanging out in the WCC. Every game is a possible win or loss. Very entertaining. Go Cougs. That journey, we're still going through that journey, right, of what is this league? And it's another version of this league with the new four teams from the Pac-12.
So tonight at 5, pop popcorn, get some Kool-Aid.
Some pizza,
and,
let's go, baby.
It's Tuesday night. This will be a fun couple of hours where you hope for the best.
Blue Kool-Aid, of course.
Right.
Today's Ryerson shout-out presented by Mountain America, the official credit union of BYU Athletics.
Delaney Gibb, all she does is win Freshman of the Week awards. 7 now in the Big 12. 6th player in Big 12 history to win the award 7 times. And there's still 4 or 5 more weeks left.
She can win it a few more times. Let's go. She'll be Freshman of the Year in the league, no doubt. Our thanks to today's guest, Ken Pomeroy.
Conversation continues 24/7 on X, Instagram, and Facebook. All our shows are on demand at BYUSN.com.
Right to Dennis Pitta, we ran out of time. Big game tonight, 7 Eastern, pregame at 6 Eastern on BYU Radio, Cougars at West Virginia. For Dave, I'm Jeremy. Shout out to Danny Kubik. Go Cougs! Beat the Mountaineers.